Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Lorecast episode 3. I am your host, PQ, and these are my co-hosts, Bob and Morlocks.
Just wanted to let you guys know we have a second episode. It was supposed to be up on 115 day. Should probably be up with this one.
Yeah. Some technical difficulties that one. We'll probably have these two go back up, back to back. What do you all want to start with?
Well, it's been even outside of the lore discussion, it's been kind of a, what I would call an eventful week.
Yeah, with the layoffs and all.
Yeah, which more or less, I know you wanted to talk about that specifically. I know you have some very strong opinions on that, so I'll let you handle the majority of that. As well as looking at Twitter, a ton of shit leaked, like various COD games. Like there was the whole, I don't know if you guys saw like the NX1.
Yeah, Future Warfare.
And I've been keeping a huge, I've been doing some stuff at home, but I know a bunch of other stuff leaked as well.
Yeah,
but,
like it's like the layoffs have like triggered a ton of the devs to come out and like start sharing all this old leaked content and stuff. Like not only has there been the NX1 stuff, which is Future Warfare, a cut game that was going to be made by Neversoft back in like 2013. It was going to be like what we got instead of Ghost, right?
Yeah, I think Brian Bright made a tweet about that.
There's also been gameplay that surfaced for Devil's Brigade, which is like the old World War II third-person game.
Oh, yeah. Actually, you know, just as a... I know we already kind of started the episode, but as a warning, because I know some people can get a bit upset about this. There is going to be a lot of leak talk during this episode specifically. Okay, just as a warning.
Probably be edited, so there'll probably be like timestamps and stuff, I assume, but just wanted to let you guys know going in.
We'll try to tell you when we're going to be talking about leaks. Yeah. You can skip forward. If there are no timestamps, just like take a guess, probably 10 minutes ahead. Should be good. Either way, let's start. This is leaks. This is leak talk for the next 10, maybe 15 minutes. It's just going to be leak talk. So go ahead, guess.
Leak
talk. One funny bit a few people noticed is one of the Future Warfare levels is called, in like the leaks, it's called Operation Deadbolt.
Oh, yeah, like, funny coincidence, like, I noticed another one that people are talking about, it's like, one of the multiplayer levels is Bin Laden's compound, which is just, like, so, this feels out of left field, it's crazy.
I honestly wondering what they were gonna do with that game. Looks like, there's a lot of, like, weird stuff, like, I don't know if you guys saw the, I don't know how valid it is, I think there was footage of it, like, the Roman War Call of Duty thing from like, years ago. It was at least like a big rumor that I saw going around.
Yeah, I remember what you're talking about. I can't remember like what year that was around about.
Yeah. Might have been Sledgehammer. I don't recall.
Yeah, it might have been. But due to these layoffs, there's been a ton of devs that have come forward to various leaks.
Yeah, when
a lot of concept art for like the older Modern Warfare games, Modern Warfare 2, Modern Warfare 3, and all the stuff we just talked about.
And speaking of the layoffs, it's I feel like that's probably something we should talk about. It's not something that I guess directly impacts the main, or I mean it does. It may impact the main topic of discussion that Kite has, but I think it's a pretty important topic in this whole like Call of Duty discussion thing in general. What do you guys think of that whole thing? I know more like some very strong opinions on it, which I largely agree with. So I'll let you guys take away with that one.
But you can start, because I'm probably going to go on a tangent really talking about this stuff. So you can get your piece in before, the storm.
What was it? I was throwing through one of these leaks.
Like what your take on the whole layoff situation is.
Oh, yeah. It's like, I kind of figured it was coming, like due to like all the Microsoft stuff. You look at what they've done with Bethesda and all the other companies they have bought out, and like it's, I was hoping it wouldn't happen, but like clearly there was a trend, and like now it's happened, where they've bought, the deal is closed, and now they've laid off all these people, and now they're probably going to outsource all like their development, which is really disheartening to see.
I think a bunch of people have commented on it. I think Charlie Intel said something about it. I think TGR might have. I don't know for sure, but that's just, I don't think it's a good thing.
Like over 1,900 devs out of like 22,000. Yeah. Well, that's a good chunk.
Yes, I said this myself to at least more or less the other day, but like I think a lot of people discount that. Like I think the reason these games are enjoyable the way they are is not because of like just the brand name by itself or just like Activision by itself. But I think the devs contribute the majority of what people like about this stuff.
Yeah.
So I think I've seen a lot of people kind of dismiss that. I've seen a lot of people go like,
well, just make better games and you won't get laid off. And like Twitter replies. And
yeah.
It's just annoying to me.
Actually, to go on a tangent about that, if you guys will let me.
Oh, yeah, sure. Go for it.
These games. People have this. Everybody, you know, it's a generalized thing. Call of Duty, less soulless Activision game. No soul in it, no love in it, no nothing. But in reality, every game, for the most part, is the sum of its developers. Like, even though there's parameters for each game to be similar, corporate slop, if you will, forces them to do specific things in specific ways, there's still a lot of love in these games. Like, the map, the modes, the zombies, like specifically it shows the most during zombies over the years, it has shown, but the Call of Duty multiplayer team, the campaign teams, really have a love for these sort of things. So seeing Microsoft, and I called this like way back, a lot of people have hated on me for a while about it, the Microsoft is not going to be the saving grace of Call of Duty. All right?
I agree. I've been saying this for a while. Like, I think a lot of people are on this whole train of, oh, they're going to make the franchise great again, even though, like, obviously a lot of their perception of what great again is influenced by, like, you know, nostalgia and everything.
But that's a whole different discussion. That's a whole different discussion.
It's like Microsoft is never going to do that, frankly.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
Realistically, they're just going to, hopefully I'm wrong, but the likeliness of them just running this franchise into the actual ground and forcing it to be this actual soulless game franchise is now going to be like a real sentiment that actually happens now. Before, it was just a false view that people had of the industry as a whole. Like, you know, oh, the YouTuber guy said the COD game bad, therefore the game COD game is bad. And now it's actually going to be bad. Like, more bad news for Call of Duty. I mean, you see what Microsoft has done with their flagship titles, bro. Where are they? Dead. Literally rotting corpses that they're still basically beating. To this day, like, I feel bad for Halo, you know?
Oh, yeah, Halo especially.
Oh, my God, bro. Like, Halo, really, really...
Halo fans.
People wonder why COD has been, like, getting worse with its, like, microtransactions and stuff. And it's like, all you need to do is look at the competition, man. They're all dead, let's be honest. Like, the competition is all dead. The only competition right now is, like, Fortnite, I think. Destiny is dead. Not, of course, like literally dead.
Oh, Destiny was hit by a similar situation because I believe a lot of their developers were laid off as well recently.
Yeah, it's
I guess part of a symptom of the larger problem with the industry now. But.
Exactly, it's just not good. We're discussing this on the lore cast mainly because our main worries is that it affects the writing teams. You guys heard?
We don't really know. A lot of the zombies team members are less publicly aligned, and obviously all layoffs are terrible. Like, it really is a shitty situation. What you were saying, like, we don't really know what the impact this will have on the actual games itself will be as well.
On the actual lore, like, we don't know. I think that's an effect this large, like this laying off stuff, I don't think it's going to affect this year's game. I don't think it's going to affect the next year's game. Quadi also mentioned, like, when we were talking yesterday and stuff, you also mentioned this. This game's going to be fine. Next year's game is likely just going to be fine. It narrowly avoided the cutting block. But 2025 is going to be, like, the real showcase of the consequences of these layoffs.
I think we got really fucking lucky in terms of it not affecting 2024, because of how much, like, the deal got delayed over the course of, like, the last year or two. Like, if it closed sooner, it could have severely fucked with 2024, I think. So I'm really hopefully it doesn't.
I'm not a development expert, but I would imagine 2024 is at least in, like, you know, it's been worked on for a while at this point. So I mean, hopefully it's not too effective. Like you guys said, I don't think this game in particular will be too affected by it, but
yeah, it's like, I think it's gone on long enough of its, like, development life cycle that it's probably fine.
But I don't know, this whole situation just kind of sucks. It's just kind of annoying me because, like, you have these big mega corporations, like, you know, Microsoft became, like, I don't know, it became like a $1 trillion company the other day, and it's all like, oh well, it was redundant positions, they had to do it. Like, I don't know, it just kind of sucks to me.
We got psyops in the community happening as we speak, bro. Like, actual psych. We got Eddie, actual Eddie, in the Zombies community and every Gen X community. He's real. They're like telling you, oh, all of these positions were redundant. Oh, all of these positions were in administration. It's like, okay.
I saw a lot of like console wars guys saying that the other day.
Yeah. This is bigger than console wars.
This isn't a console war thing for me. Like, I own an Xbox. I know Quad's on Xbox as well. This isn't a console war thing.
Yeah. Anyways,
I saw a ton of people there, like y'all were saying, like how there's a sentiment going around, like, oh, we're trimming the fat. They're trimming the fat. Like, this always happens when a company, whenever a deal or merger like this closes. That might be true to some extent, but still, there is inevitably there's a lot of talent that has been laid off with this.
Exactly.
What did the 2A team at Sledgehammer Games do to deserve getting shot by Phil Spencer, man?
Exactly. Yeah,
That's the weird one. Like, oh yeah, now those updates, those MW3 updates that people complained about being rushed and buggy, guess what? There's no QA team now. Now we're actually the QA team. Everybody made jokes.
People were making jokes. They were like, oh, the players are the QA team. Like, yeah, how does it feel, buddy?
Yeah,
you're living in a post-QA team world.
I
largely agree with what you guys were saying about it. I think it's a shitty situation, frankly. And I definitely feel for the... directly 1900?
Yeah, I think that's what got reported. It was like 1900 and something.
1900 developers got laid off because of this. This is a really crappy situation.
Yeah, it's a lot. I'm trying to look for some more interesting stuff there coming out due to all these leaks. And I think what I want to talk about next is one of y'all posted in here a while ago. There's been a leak that's come out about the real Zombie Chronicles 2.
Okay. Yeah, here we go.
Not going into like the situation itself, but like going into the maps, which is what is interesting to me. What they're reporting now is like the maps that were gonna be for the Zombie Chronicles 2 is Transit, Die Rise, and Buried, which is funny to see because like there's been like a lot of people over the years being like, oh, we're gonna include an Origins remake, Great War. Even with this, and not to like go into like my theory as to what was actually going to happen, like we've talked about this before, we have a video coming out soon that's going to be going over that comic page, but
one day,
and I think I can talk about this without going into detail about like what that entails. But even with this leak right here, like if it is like if it's real, which it probably is, there is one part of it over the course of the years. And even now, that I feel like is speculation on the part of these leakers, and that's the Die Rise bit.
Well, if I recall correctly, I believe like internal stuff was leaked from like around the development of Black Ops 4. I want to say a year or two ago, and it mentioned. I could be misremembering this. I haven't looked at these in a while, but it could be like it mentioned like two additional maps for both of the zombie stories that didn't get made.
Yeah, I remember like 6 months to a year and a half ago, there was all that stuff came out about like a Morocco map, a Russia map, which I think most of that, like not to get into it, we will at some point in a video, but that's all, I feel like that's all just a bunch of horseshit, frankly. But to stick on this for now, like the Die Rise stuff and the comic page, because it all ties into that comic page. If we look at Black Ops 4, in its entirety, right? Not one particular map, but the multiplayer, the zombies experience. There is only evidence in that game for Transit and Buried. Of course, you have Buried and Blackout. You have like the whole like underground section, like it's mapped out. Like that was clearly something they were working on. And you have Transit in the Remnant multiplayer map, and all the teasers we have gotten for Hanford and Barry in the zombies lore. Never once has there been any significant evidence leaked or stuff you can glean from like the story and lore and gameplay aspects that has pointed towards Die Rise. In fact, with that comic, I think there is certainly stuff that goes against it. And it's really simple, I feel like, and I'm surprised that people haven't really picked up on it. Because going back to that comic page, you have to, let's just look at what it is. It is an alternate Die Rise loading screen, alternate to Die Rise. And that fourth panel in the comic, originally, it depicts them heading from, being teleported from Transit to Die Rise. In the new version, the one that depicts the Primus arriving at the house with Ultimus Richtofen replacing their own Richtofen, it instead shows them not going to Dire-Eyes, but going to the house in Agartha, which to me symbolizes that Dire-Eyes does not happen. Like, this happens instead of Dire-Eyes.
Yeah, that's
kind of...
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree. One weird outlier to me in, like, the Black Ops 4 lore is, I mean, I guess, like, we get the Jeb Brown lore in Intact Utopia. It's like, I mean, I got obviously, it was the last map of the storyline, so they wanted to drop that set there. But I think, I mean, if we're assuming that there were going to be remake maps to fill out the season and add more story, I think it'd be interesting. Because that stuff would hypothetically fit a Buried remake much more than Hall of the Dead remake.
Which, with that said, I really can't blame, like, the people leaking all this stuff. Like, it's weird to have two of the Victus remakes without the third one, right? That just feels off. So I can't really blame people for making the not really broad assumption that they would also have that one and just throwing it in there, because why not? Like, it makes sense if you don't actually look into all of it.
Promise, you know, to the listeners of the podcast, I swear, we're not schizo. Okay, this is just how the story is. It's just the way that the discussion goes whenever you bring up old ether. All right,
exactly.
You're just going into a tangent that makes you sound completely insane.
You know, I can't lie. You know, it doesn't help the directors for each map were at least partly insane. You know, yeah, Jimmy, Jason. I think the only semi-sane one so far has been like Corky, and God knows what he's up to, bro. Who knows what he's cooking?
That's just kind of what happens when your entire like story, your decade long story, the basis for it is like fringe conspiracy theories.
Yeah. Either way, for people who have been new to the dark, like to the either story or the dark ether story, of course. In this channel, we're mainly going to be doing a lot of like talking about the old storyline, just to kind of decode it. All these stuff videos will come up eventually when we're not getting mogged by daily lives.
Yeah.
Anyways, what else do you guys want to, you know, bring up about that? Because I was going to talk about kind of like the more personal stuff with the leakers, if you guys don't mind.
You can do that.
Yeah, you can do it. Go ahead.
I've just noticed, like, quite as you mentioned, a lot of these leakers, people take what they say at face value. And, you know, I don't think there's malicious misinformation being posted by these leakers or anything like that. But it feels like sometimes there's just a lot of conflicting information. Sometimes leakers make fun of other leakers, and it's kind of like this weird like kind of tug of war of no, I have more information. Oh no, my source is better. And I just feel like that's kind of a weird subculture that has developed in COD over the recent few years. It's just like I think it's unnecessarily hostile. And I hope people try to. I know. We discuss leaks, of course. We have to. It's a major part of the community now. But at the same time, always when you listen to a leak, always think about like the other side of it. Maybe the guy's wrong. Maybe the information is misrepresented. Maybe he's just straight up guessing.
Plus, a lot of stuff, obviously, more than likely, can change in development.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like something that may have been true at one point, like say the remake maps for Black Ops 4 that didn't happen. Like those maps were going to happen when Black Ops 4
especially
ended up not happening.
That's especially true for leakers, but also like data miners as well. Like they're the same kind of niche, but like there's a little bit of a difference there. And like whenever you see people data mining shit, don't take it at face value, because there's a lot of stuff that either gets misinterpreted due to the name of the assets and the files and whatnot. And there's a lot of stuff that could be cut or just being reused and like showing through from an older game, and it has nothing to do with current or future content.
Yeah, that reminds me of I don't remember if I brought it up on here yet, or that one tweet where it's like modding Cold War to load Great War Richtofen into it from Black Ops 4.
Yeah, or like one that always stands out in my mind is the D-Machina jetpack. And all that really turned out to be is a misinterpreted data mine of the Krasny Sodats like jetpack from Outbreak. Yeah. Because like when you shoot it, like the initial leak for that, they found like three different pieces for it. And it's like, oh, it's a buildable jetpack. And what it really is whenever you shoot at the Krasny's jetpack, it breaks down into three different like damaged parts. And that's what they were saying, and that's what they were misinterpreting it as.
So yeah, that's just the main part about these leaks. Always think about other stuff.
And always
go through multiple hands. There's multiple different sources.
Give it a bit of a grain of salt until whatever got leaked comes out.
Yeah, exactly.
All those factors.
I think this affected really MW3's like reception so, so badly. Like,
yeah.
Either way, I think you guys got any additions for the leak talk, or should we just start talking about the main meat of this?
Not really. I think you hit a lot of the stuff, a lot of the important stuff.
Yeah, I think we can get over into the juicy bits of what we have been doing, what we've found in the last couple of weeks.
Oh God.
So, in Modern Warfare Zombies, there we have found something that hardly anyone. There's been a couple people here and there, and what started us on our path to like looking for all these and finding all these was a Reddit post back towards launch that no one seems to really have noticed, where a man mentioned that there are documents that contain lore littered around a map, and he mentioned two of them, and sure enough we went there and we found two lore documents. There was one going over the Terminus outcomes history, which it's mainly just like a recap of what you got in the cutscene, where it shows Fletcher's bio and it tells all that. It's literally the same information. And the other one was a letter between Green and Soap about Zakhaev. But since then we have been looking and we have found a lot of documents that we are going to talk about here today.
Oh boy.
We got a big one.
Yeah.
Let's start with the biggest one.
Alright. Let me pull it up here. And this
your bomb.
Yeah. This document states at the very top, right, there's a big seal. It says President of the United States, the White House, Washington, or to Operation Deadboat SSO, which is green, from classified. Now, before we read it, keep in mind, almost very rarely has Treyarch ever written a thing where it says where they have redacted a name and it hasn't been a character we already know. They're redacted because, like, it's someone it would get a reaction out of us. If we knew the name.
Yeah, the biggest one I can think of was the director in Cold War, where anytime he's mentioned, they always say redacted. Because like, if they just said, oh, director Richtofen, we know the twist immediately.
Yeah, but to stay on topic, it says, quote, I wish to convey my gratitude for your leadership on this operation. It is a job I did not wish on anyone, and yet you answered the call. This will not be forgotten. In terms of resources, rest assured you have the entirety of my office and the Pentagon at your disposal. Keeping in mind that discretion is paramount. Looking at your record, I feel confident leaving this extinction level threat in your hands. Thank you for your courage and service. Now, I don't know about you, but that feels very similar to the director.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It feels very like, just the classified bit alone kind of reminds me of like the director intel from Cold War.
Yeah.
But his like style of typing, I don't know. This might be a bit of a stretch, but his like the style of typing that kind of reminds me of how he would talk in there.
Yeah, it's like there's like a little bit of mystique behind the way he talks, and like a
kind of like an almost I want to feel like kind of like above others like, sense talks, to it.
Yeah, it's like very cryptic way of speaking. Yeah. Almost. And it's like I thought we've been thinking about this pretty hard, and to me it feels like, just looking at it from like a narrative way, right, we've already had this whole thing of like of this kind of mystery with the director in Cold War. They did the exact same thing and like piecing together who it was and all that. So for it to be Eddie feels weird. Like it, I don't think they would do that twice.
Yeah.
So the simplest answer past Eddie, in my mind, would be his son, Samuel, which is a character we know next to little to nothing about so far.
And we know bro got smoked by Weaver, literally.
Yeah.
That's it, bro. That's all we got. It's all the info. And he's probably like, I don't know.
Which raises a lot of questions, if it is him. Like, it raises a lot of questions about, like, what happened in the Gulf War. Just because, considering pretty much the only thing we know about that character is that he was smoked by Weaver.
Yeah.
It would be a little difficult for him to become the president.
Yeah, he either got smoked or there's also like the small possibility that he's the kid within the Dark Aether that Mr. Peterson
put in.
It's really a toss-up between those two options, really.
Yeah.
Probably two, to be honest. He probably got smoked, then somehow got into the Dark Aether. God knows, man. We're literally working on the blind right here. But so far, our track record, I think, has been very schizo. So let's just keep adding, and let's just keep adding to the pile. Why not?
One thing I do want to bring up is Emmy himself is one of the very few Cold War characters, but he's one of the big Cold War characters that is completely unaccounted for by 2021. Like I don't even think he's been mentioned outside of like the marketing.
Yeah, like,
which is interesting considering how big a presence he was in Cold War itself.
And like we've already discussed in the previous podcast, like how we think he's tied to the story via Terminus outcomes, which I think is true. So that, like looking at this, it only like further shows that he has a lot of involvement in the story in one way or another.
Yeah, I agree. I would go as far as to say I think he's still alive.
I mean, honestly. I don't know. This might be a real shot in the dark. This might be just like, it's just a bit of a crackpot thing that I've been thinking about recently, last few days. But I think it'd be, I don't know. I think it'd be a really cool choice. Maybe some that the community doesn't like. If he gets killed off in like a weird way in Gulf War. I think that'd be like kind of like.
That'd be interesting. That would be kind of like interesting kind of subversion, I think, of what people expect in the game.
There's so much stuff right now. I think we talked about this before, but we're believers that there's like two storylines in this, you know, this Dark Aether stuff right now. We have, I think, the modern day with Modern Warfare Zombies, which I think could be continued into the other Modern Warfare games in the future, right? Maybe 2025, maybe 2026. Who knows? But that present day stuff. Then we have the old stuff, you know, the Gulf War, the Cold War, the Vanguard, also. Who knows, maybe the 2025 game. So I think it would be really cool to have these big moments, just big, big moments in the older games, the Gulf War game for the next year, and have it directly affect the modern day storyline. So you see the punch, like, you know, the punchline, I guess, of the storyline in the old stuff or the old timeline. Then you feel the ramifications and effects of it in the next game right after.
Yeah. Very like cause and effect over the course of decades, which is like conceptually really cool to like convey your story. Going back to the Eddie stuff, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, so I kind of want to get up like our thoughts on it here. But like you said, that you think Eddie could be killed in Cold War. I mean, in Gulf War. We talked about this a little bit yesterday, Bob. Of like, I think if they kill him, right. They're going to do it in a way that, like, serves his character justice. And what that says to me is a selfless and heroic sacrifice in every definition of the word, because that's the one thing we have never gotten from a Richtofen. You can argue we got it with the other two, right? But if you really look into it, like, Ultimus Richtofen, he broke the cycle. He did what was right in the end, but like there was a power factor. He like fucked around and did everything he wanted to do before he's like, oh, okay, let's go ahead and do this. And then Primus Richtofen, he didn't want to die. He has this big ego death moment only after he has like killed an infinite number of people.
Yeah. And
then he does it with Great War Richtofen, right? Here, everything we've seen, even though Eddie has done some messed up things, like namely like the Russian tale where he's like put kids in prison over this stuff, over finding out that
stuff he does in like the Samantha interrogations.
Yeah, but like all of those, the kid ones, like kind of harder to bat for just because like how weird it is. But
have
like,
you considered that those college students had bad vibes or maybe deserved it?
True.
We're on drugs, you see.
And just by the means, you know, it's just the way that it is.
Yeah. Unlike the other two, everything we've seen here is everything he's done has been in the name of protecting the new universe and preserving what Primus and Ultimus did, like everything they did to secure the survival of the human race and the kids, Samantha and Eddie.
you know, maybe a bit of a story tangent. I think it'd be thematically, and Bob, you want to add to this before I kind of go on like a minute, like.
One interesting layer, I think, to the Richtofens, you brought up the bit of how they're both killed in Black Ops 4. I think a very interesting layer to, like, Blood of the Dead's ending is that, like, Primus Richtofen, or the one that dies in the Dark Mechanism, like, he didn't think he was going to die there. Like, you can see kind of from his dialogue in that scene that he thought that, like, the other three or the other Richtofen were going to, like, pull him out after.
Yeah, even when Great Richtofen, he's like, shows up, he's like, you're a doctor, you can help me. He's like, why aren't you getting me out? Help me, fellas.
Yeah.
Yeah, he only went in there with the assumption that they were going to help him. And that really feeds back into the whole idea of, like, his Messiah complex. Like, he's the savior. He has to be the one that saves everyone. But he doesn't want to, like, feel the repercussions of that, which for him is death.
Yeah, that's why I find Blood of the Dead to be a very interesting map thematically. I think it's a very, it's a cool examination of, like, that character, I think.
Yeah.
But you can say any more laps.
Okay. So I think. I remember, actually, yeah, Quad, we talked about this yesterday. You talked about it with Bob. I remember bringing up the point that, you know, arguably you could say Ultimus Richtofen was the selfless sacrifice, but it wasn't really. You know, you broke it down perfectly. You were like, oh, yeah, he already did all this stuff. He already got into Agartha. He had the mechanism stuff in BO2, whatever. He did everything he wanted to, and then he's like, yep, fuck it. You know, it is what it is. It's just the way that it is.
He helped, like, the greater good that Nikolai was, like, trying to achieve, but he didn't do it out of, like, a... Like, yeah. Oh, I want to save the universe. He just did it because, like, you know, he wanted to break the cycle of his own personal reason.
Yeah. We talked about this yesterday again, but, like, the one key moment that, like, shows to me, like, it's the big counter argument against, like, him being the one that does the selfless sacrifice kind of thing is in Moon. Whenever he first goes into the MPD, he is literally, anyone who goes into the MPD, goes into the Aether, you're seeing all of time play out at the exact same time. He would have had full knowledge of how to break the cycle, what was actually going on with Malty, the Keepers, and the Apophicans, like, everything. He would have had the knowledge to end it all, and he's in complete control of the Aether at that point. He could have literally, like, ended it all, done Tag at that point, if he really wanted to. But even, like, at that point, we don't really know what his goals are. Like, we have this break in the cycle stuff, right? Which is probably what it actually was, if you ask me, right?
Yeah.
But he has a quote in that moment, which is kind of like a little bit meta, a little bit fourth wall worky, but it illustrates the point I'm trying to make here quite well, I think. It's like, I control everything. I can destroy you all, but not before we finish the game first. So he's like, he can do anything he wants now, but he's gonna do it in a way where he can get his kicks and
yeah, exactly.
enjoy it all.
Each Richtofen has his own, like, kind of their own kick to stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If you think about it, Brim's Richtofen's whole Messiah complex thing, he gets a real kick out of that. You know? Before anyone says not Primus Richtofen slander, I love that guy. I think everybody in the community loves that guy. He's done unbelievable. And I mean, everybody also loves Ultimus Richtofen, but Primus Richtofen has that special place in your heart where you can really sympathize with him. Because let's be real.
Most 63 don't like him.
Okay, well, fuck those guys, you know? We don't care about those guys.
Just eating that death.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think arguably he's the most, empathetic character? I don't know what the word is specifically for it. You can really feel for him. I mean, you get stuck in a cycle and that you forget every time you get into it freshly. And try saving yourself. You're going to have a hard time. The point is, going to a tangent, I think Eddie sacrificing himself in Gulf War, as you said, like, this being the only, you know, way that you can really do an Eddie death, would be so perfect for the end of Tag der Toten. Because you could absolutely say that Eddie, seeing all the suffering that his older versions caused, all that stuff, plus seeing Nikolai being the selfless one to end it all, just to give these two children, or, you know, Eddie and Max back then, Sam, these two children a chance at a new life, he could have absolutely learned from that. Mm-hmm. And he could have, you know, in Gulf War, maybe, again, it's all schizo stuff. We're working in the dark here. It could just be that he sacrifices himself, gets Samuel out of the Dark Aether, or gets Samuel revived, and then you get all the Samuel stuff later on.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, it's really thematically, like, there's a huge thematic thing going on there too. Like you just said at the end of Tag, like, Eddie would have seen Victus, what happened to Victus, and I think that really does tie into like why his son is named Samuel. He is like, that's like his way of paying respects. And if he does sacrifice himself, in my mind, it will literally be to save Samuel. Like, it's
yeah, like as kind of like an inverse of like, yeah, that bit in the Tiger Conan thing, which I actually really exactly liked. Probably my favorite character moments in that game, where like Ultimate Thor Coffin's like the one moment where he like genuinely feels bad for fucking someone over is when like Stillinger and Victus get sent to the Dark Eater.
Yeah.
Any other addition, guys? This is only just one intel piece that we found.
We can go ahead and get into the next one because like I feel like it ties into the White House one.
Oh, sure. Which one do you want to talk about next?
Okay. It says FAO Station Chief, transcript as follows. This is a message for Station Chief Laswell. You know who I am. I trust my identity and status level have been appropriately communicated to you. The news is not good. It is bad. Bad in exactly the way we want to avoid. The clock has run out. We must mobilize immediately. Code word Tangerine. Further details and precise coordinates of affected area to follow. Okay. This ties in not only because of like the cryptic like phrasing and all that, but also that little mention of the code word. Code word Tangerine. Who in the Dark Aether do we know of so far that it like has been using code words like crazy? 80. Like his name's Argus. Like you have the code Captain Whiskers, all that. Like this is another little connection.
No, the real lore significance of this and how it's gonna be revealed that Peck is still alive. This is how it can come back.
It's true. It's the Peck, actually. We're gonna have a Peck boss fight at the end of MWZ, just you wait. It's actually the entity. So I mean, besides this, just like, you know, playing into the White House stuff, code word Eddie, blah. Assuming, I don't know. This is just a lot of pondering. Bob, do you want to have any additions to this intel?
One thing I want to comment on is this one, even more so than the White House one, feels like very much within the same way of like talking or like messaging and stuff that like Eddie did in the Cold War.
Yeah.
Especially the one I'm thinking of is like the memorandum for the board intel, where he's like talking to the board at the company he works for. Very much kind of reminded me of that one.
Yeah, especially like as far as like his identity goes, it literally says, "You know who I am," and that feels it feels a bit like a lot of ways that's speaking towards the players more like in the same way it's speaking towards like the characters.
Yeah,
it's like the players know who I am. It's like,
and it would be especially interesting if we do believe that like Addy or Samuel is the president. If that's messaged from the same person, that would also justify that "you know who I am" part. It's like, I mean, why wouldn't they know who he is?
Crackpot time, boys, because this is all I'm good for in this podcast. Wouldn't it be funny if this was like Peck? Like way he's kind of like Peck up or something? Wouldn't it be funny if
like Peck becomes president?
Like specifically this, because it's a, station chief, I don't know. Would this be from the president or would this be from a high-level like agent, right? I don't know. I'm working under the assumption this is from like a high level agent or something in the CIA or whatever. And I think the way that this guy is like, "Oh, you know who I am," kind of like this is literally something that Peck, I think, said in Firebase.
It's along the lines of how he would introduce himself to people.
Yeah. And I think it'd be, you know, maybe Eddie dies in Gulf War. Then Peck, I don't know, maybe the U.S. is like, "Well, shit, we just lost our, like, Dark Aether specialist. Who do we get? Fuck it, bro. Get this Peck guy, Brent. You know, give him, like, immunity and whatever for all the stuff he's done. Just get him back into the fold." And then, you know, whatever happens after happens.
Especially, that's interesting, because that is explicitly Peck's motivation as of Forsaken. Because he essentially makes his deal with Eddie where it's like, "Oh, I'll bring you the Forsaken if you clear my record with the U.S. Which seemingly does not happen, considering he appears to be in hiding in like the 5 years later cutscene, which implies that, well, probably because the strike team are the ones that got the Forsaken and not him, Eddie did not follow through his end of the agreement.
Yeah. Which, I think we talked about this last time, but like, I've always had like a hard time figuring out like what his motivations for like rescuing them would be in Gulf War. Like, because he seems to be like the catalyst for the entire like story arc in that game. Like, him going to the island and freeing them is what kicks off everything.
Yeah.
But it could just be simple as that, like him not holding up his end of the bargain, so he's like pissed about it. He's gonna get payback.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would honestly, it would be within his character to do that, to just be like, you just want to like basically screw him over for screwing him over.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, one other part of this intel to really talk about is the worst his comp to pass. You got the precise coordinates and stuff. What would that mean? I don't even know, man. Maybe this is teasing the end of MWZ. I don't know. Maybe, I guess, I mean, of course, at the end of MWZ, we're going to have a big bang moment that, you know, sends us into the next game or sends us into the future, like 3 years down the line, 2026, 2027, MWZ 2 game. So who knows? Maybe the entity, maybe the breakout gets even worse and we have to contain it. And then when we do, it's like, oh, the evil, you know, it's not over yet. And there's still the whole thing about Ravenov, Jansen. Please, bro, don't kill my boy off Ravenov, man. Not this game. Don't do it to my boy.
Yeah, I definitely think, with the Jansen stuff especially, I think they're definitely, I don't really see them concluding that in just one game, personally. That's just me. That feels like too big, like, character setup. Like, oh, they want this character to be like a main character in future iterations. That's just my opinion, though.
I can see it going a couple ways, really, because you have, just because of how much she ties back into old characters, like Gray, and like there's all these connections to Sam with her. So like, I could,
with like the entity stuff, because the entity is at least connected to Sam.
Yeah, either her character arc will continue into like a future installment, like that takes place after Mall for Zombies, or her arc will be so intrinsically tied into like our characters and go forward that it's going to come full circle when we get to that game. And like, aside from that, do we have anything else to say before we move on to the next intel piece?
No, I think I'm good on this one.
All right. There's only a couple more that we found so far. We are still looking for them currently. We do not know if we have them.
We need an intel menu back. We've been just like 3 weeks digging through
Kevin Drew's trick. Buddy heard me hating on Cold War intel system. I was like, man, 1,300 intel pieces? This sucks. Even with this, the new your systems. Fault. Like, All right. You're gonna have like 10 intel pieces, or God knows how many there are on the map. And it's a Warzone-sized map. You don't even know how many there are. You don't even know where they're at.
Yeah. It's like the monkey paw situation. Like, yeah, there's so much intel to this game. Why can't there just be like a smaller amount, including only the perfect amount of details that we need? And they gave you that. It's like, well, okay, we're going to give you the perfect amount, but you have to find them all, and there's no indication of where they're at. Have fun.
No correlation between left.
The monkey curls.
Yeah. I hope somebody, hope one of the YouTuber, like, bigger YouTubers can, because we are but a small channel, picks up on the situation and can, you know, get a hundred
figure for these things. I think I said this to you guys the other day, but I figured, because we're talking about this now, I'm not sure if the wider community was super aware of this, but I know Quad is a pretty good community building up with like the Twitter account and now the YouTube channel, that I think there's got to be at least some of them that will probably go insane searching for this stuff as well.
Yeah.
we sure did.
I hope they do. I hope people see this and they go out and start looking for these things. And just to like make this part clear, because like in the past, whenever they've put out stuff that they want people to find in relation to like story bits, usually what happens is if the community does not find those things, they will literally like scratch it off entirely and move on to something else, because they wanted you to pick it up, but you didn't. And like the biggest example of this is like on the moon loading screen of like Samantha's mom. And this is a case of like the loading screen itself being like the resolution, like blurring enough where people didn't see it until Black Ops 4 or Black Ops 3. So they just like, they scrap that plot point entirely. So yeah, hopefully the community will pick up on this after and start looking for these.
Yep. Next intel piece.
Okay. This one is also really interesting because it gives more credence to a theory I've been working on, and that's Miller being from West Virginia. It says, 2 Deadbolt SSO Green from Miller. Dear Officer Green, I understand you have concerns regarding my most recent psych evaluation. Yes, events in my past left me with PTSD that very well may be triggered during Deadboat's operation. However, I'll tell you, as someone who has looked this threat in the face and lived, you're not ready. I am. I've been ready since the day my home got turned inside out. The best way for me to get these demons out of my head is to face them head on. As I see it, we need each other. Crystal Miller. Now, the inclusion of the phrase, of her home getting turned inside out, to me,
you, buddy.
Yeah, like that feels like what I've been saying. Like, she is just the right age to have been a kid during the events of whatever Eddie is doing in West Virginia in the late 80s, early 90s. And the sentence where she mentions her home getting turned inside out, like, that feels so indicative of, like, confirmation of that. Like, this happened when she was a kid. This is the connecting factor to all that.
Yeah. I think, honestly, we could probably see that as something like a Terminus Island setup, but that might just be set up for something that we'd see directly the next game. Because, I don't know if I said this before, the West Virginia facility is really one of the two locations that we have set up for within Cold War.
Yeah. Which, like, before, it was just her accent we were going based off of, and that felt like a stretch. Like, a lot of people said that was a stretch, which I get it. It kind of is, right? But now, like, we have, like, evidence suggests that this happened, whatever happened to her, whenever she faced all this, happened whenever she was younger, and she has a southern accent, so this have to, like, probably happened in America. Right.
Yeah.
So, like, what other place do we know of in, like, relatively the South, other than West Virginia?
Yeah. Exactly.
The stars are aligning with all this Miller stuff.
Yeah. I definitely think. I think we could see, like, I don't know. I think this could be the equivalent of do you guys remember, like, later on in Cold War's life cycle, like, when they dropped the like craft journal stuff, and everybody at first was like, oh, what does that mean? That makes no sense. And then it turned out it was like Vanguard too. They're like setting up lore for Vanguard in Cold War. I think there's probably gonna be other examples like that, but this is the biggest example I can see of something where it, like, feels almost like actively like they're setting up story stuff for, like, the future in the current game. Because Vanguard didn't really do this just because that game was made on a budget. Or no, it did, but it didn't set up, like, direct plot points for, like, the next game just because it was made on a budget of, like, $5.
Yeah.
But, like, it'll be interesting to keep an eye out that sort of stuff in the future. Again, because this feels like, this basically, I was a believer in the Miller stuff since day one, honestly. But this feels like pretty concrete, like, confirmation of it.
Yeah. Like, we're not even at season two yet, and we're already getting stuff for us. Like, it feels like it's going to get more and more concrete as we go on, and eventually we're just going to get, like, I don't know, we're going to see her in Gulf War or something. Like,
young Miller in Gulf War.
We have, in the West Virginia intel piece, we have, like, mentioned that families in the county are refusing to leave their homes. Like, this very
could, yeah.
Her family could be one of those people that refused to leave, and they had to endure everything that happened there.
Yeah, for sure.
She do have quite a fear of the mimics, you know?
Yeah, which, I mean, to be fair, I would be surprised if the mimics aren't back in the next game, because they seem to be, like, the recurring Dark Eater story enemy types.
Yeah.
If I don't see Miller getting spooked by our child, Miller getting spooked by a mimic in a cutscene in the next game, I'm going to be cheated, to be honest.
But that reminds me, actually, this is another, like, kind of leaker rumor info thing. So, I mean, I guess we'll probably edit in a timestamp or something. But what do you guys think of the rumor that Treyarch are going hands-off on this game and that Infinity Ward and Raven are taking over? What's your guys' general thoughts on that?
Claude, you can go first for this.
I mean, as for, like, the leak itself, like, I think this could, not to, like, call people out or anything, but I think it could be a case of people's, like, making assumptions and running with it. Because I say that because we do have that one IW dev that was like, oh, we're cooking for season two.
Yeah.
Like,
I wouldn't be surprised if they were working on it to some degree from the start.
Yeah.
I've paid that much attention to that stuff.
In the league, it was like operating like, oh, they're all hands on deck for 2024. Yeah. 2024 has been in development since like probably the end of Cold War's life cycle, like more or less. Like this game, this should not be a situation where they need to be all hands on deck, like emergency situation. Move on from this game, go to the next. Like,
I agree for sure. Especially because I might be wrong, but there was a Treyarch job listings like last year, I want to say, and there seemed to be like specific jobs for like Outbreak and Warzone. So I wouldn't be surprised if they have like a section of the team specifically for like Outbreak type modes. Because we know that I think Foxhound mentioned on Reddit that this mode is considered pretty much like Outbreak 2, like internally.
I could see them like moving some support to 24, like that leak came out like what, a week ago, and now the layoffs have happened. I can see them moving people onto that game due to the layoffs, but I don't think it's like nearly as severe as they're making it out to be. But
yeah, for sure. Like, I think this game will probably be fine. I know I've seen a lot of people like, oh, the game's dead, it's over, it's gonna be ruined forever. And I think it'll probably be fine. Personally, I mean, that could be wrong. Like, it could like go completely downhill within the next season. I'll just look like an idiot in 6 months. But we'll see.
Yeah, I think that's all of the as for like the doctors who found pertaining to Deadboat and the White House and all that. That's all of them. Now we have stuff pertaining to Fletcher and Terminus Outcomes. The next one is kind of brief. We'll kind of briefly touch on it because it's like a reiteration of stuff we already know. But the one key thing that's different here is this one is just a rundown of Fletcher's history. And it has everything. It has everything we've already seen from that one cutscene, like his bio. But
yeah, Act 2.
The 1991 to 1993 section is highlighted. And that section is specifically the one that mentions him being on Terminus Island security detail.
This is my schizo baby, man.
That theory.
This is like week one of the game. I was talking about this, and I was like, "This is gonna be important. This is Fletcher is gonna be in Gulf War." And I think this, you know, I still could be wrong. I think this all but confirms it, in my opinion. But yeah. The Terminus Island stuff we had. Leaks for the next like 20 seconds, by the way, to the guy watching who's avoided with them. This goes back to the leaks that we had about there being one, you know, jail map and one like town map. You got the West Virginia stuff with Miller, and then you got the Fletcher stuff possibly with Terminus Island being like probably like Black Site 13 and whatever. By the way,
I forget, isn't Terminus HQ like pretty close?
Yeah, it's in a country called Bruni, and like if you look on a map, Bruni or however you pronounce it, is like really close to where Peck is going on in the end of Forsaken.
It's so obvious. Like when you just link them, it's so obvious, and I think that's really all we need to talk about this specific intel piece. It's literally active storyline. They just highlight the important part that I've talked about nonstop ever since the game launched. So next intel piece, unless you guys got an addition.
Next intel piece. And these two kind of complement the last one, which goes back into Fletcher's history. So far, there's been a big sentiment that, especially like more so in like not only in the game story, but also in the community space of Fletcher does not know what Ethereum is. He doesn't really care or know about. He's in it for the money. He's a big PMC guy. We get dirty for money and all that jazz, right?
Yeah.
And these next two entails, both of them are about it. It goes on about how Zakaya is in debt to them. He's not making his payments on time, right? And they have a little clause in their agreement that allows for partial payment in Ethereum. And this this ties back into the other intel we've gotten, like the last update, where it's like Zakaya's out of the picture. We are here solely for Ethereum.
Yeah, that kind of gives me the idea of like almost like I know TGR suggested this in one of his videos recently, but maybe he's just like outright lying about having not seen Ethereum before, like to throw people off.
Yeah.
It's just obvious. Like, I'll be honest. You look at these costs, man.
These are insane. This is some insane money. If Zakaev has this money, I don't know how Blood cooked this up. Because, hey, man, your father's money can only go so far.
He spent all of it on his evil Warzone plot.
This is true. This is true. You can't even forget that. Bro had a whole nuclear bomb ready to go. How did he get that? Who knows? Thank you, Infinity War Storytelling. Anyways, the point is, Fletcher is very evidently all about that Ethereum stuff. Right.
Waiter, like, more Ethereum, please.
Millions of Ethereum must be sold. Millions must sell Ethereum.
Yeah.
And I think I lost my train of thought just for that meme. You guys can just go ahead. I'll just
get it back. Has fallen.
It's like a. So far, it's been like I said, a sentiment that he's only in it for the money. He's like selling this to his buyers or whatever. But like. They're collecting so much Ethereum at this point. Like, they're what are they planning? Like, we've discussed in the past, like, how we think they're related to, like, Eddie and Janus, potentially. Yeah. So this could be like a, like we've said before, Terminus Outcomes, the final result of Janus, perhaps. And they need a shit ton of Ethereum for it.
Because, like, a lot of the stuff in Fletcher's backstory is one of those things where, like, you look into it a bit, and it's like, parts of this don't really add up.
Yeah. Makes you ponder. I mean, Eddie.
From a meta perspective, it'd be kind of weird to have him show up and, like, just have his only plot role be, like, evil mercenary guy, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think, though? More leaked territory, but there's been data mine stuff for season 2, and like it shows the story from maybe trending in like a interesting direction of the newest mission mentioned something about rescuing either Terminus people or maybe even Fletcher himself. So it's like kind of weird. I don't know if y'all seen
the question, but yeah, I actually saw it earlier. I was going to bring it up at some point, but that raises the question of like, what are we rescuing him from?
Yeah. It could be a situation similar to Code War, where like a ton of the Omega people wanted to defect. Could be something like that. I don't know. It's just really weird.
Talk about it, actually, because I do have I won't say strong opinions on this, but it feels like a lot of people are seeing this, and I've been seeing a few videos, I think, from TGR and other people. Maybe, I don't know, I didn't check, actually, if TGR made a video on this. This guy's kind of low-key carrying the storyline stuff. I can't even lie. He's like one of the few. He's like the only guy currently, I think, in the channel besides us, and we're still a small channel, who's actually covering this stuff consistently. But I don't know. People are saying that this is likely defected agents. I see no evidence, no real evidence at least yet, that they would. Why would they defect? Realistically, because everything we know about Fletcher, all of his soldiers like very much look up to him. They completely trust their life with him, and they know that if they defect, I think there's an intel piece also mentioned, some radio, I think it was way back, I don't remember when I found it, I think it was way back during the preseason, or during the season 1's launch, but it had like a few deadbolt operators talking about how like, oh, or I think it was actually Fletcher being like, hey, if you don't follow me, you're literally going to die, okay, you do what I say or you're dead.
Yeah.
So why would they defect? If their only lifeline, their only support line is Fletcher. You really, you know, Deadbolt are cool and all, but you're risking so much just to maybe survive and go with Deadbolt. And who knows how you're going to get treated by the CIA and the other
people. Especially because if we compare this to, like, Operation Excision in Cold War, Omega had just come off of, like, a really big public failure with, like, the inversion warheads.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of, like, damaged their reputation among a lot of their staff. Whereas with Terminus, it's like, I guess debatably, it might be debatable. I don't know how Canada is like killing the warlords, but it's like, that's really the only, I guess, major hit that you can deal with them at this point. Yeah. But like, you can, the objective is they're still doing stuff in Urzikstan with not that much difficulty.
Shit, I was going to say something, but I've lost my train. Oh, with the mission thing, like, it kind of has like the vague, maybe implication that Terminus and Deadbolt will maybe somewhat like team up temporarily, at least, like even if it's just like defecting members. But this also kind of plays back into the a certain idea we played with in our first podcast episode, where it's like a of the theory that Eddie and Terminus are like really linked together, and it's like a thing where it's like almost like Venom Snake in Metal Gear, where it's like Terminus exists as a way to get Eddie's enemies off Eddie's back while he can go do his own thing while they shoot at them over here and like fuck their shit up. So it's like it's almost like in that way Terminus and Deadbolt are both they both are created and set up by Eddie, so like them coming together in this way is like a team up. It feels like, I don't know, it kind of makes sense.
Would also be an interesting parallel to the Cold War story, where Requiem was set up by Eddie, but then Omega was also getting information from it.
Yeah.
About, like, the Forsaken of the Dark Ether and stuff. Yeah. So it's like both sides were kind of being played by it.
Yeah, he's always playing both sides, that way he comes out on top.
Yeah.
I don't know. I personally, you know, I think that would be very cool. I think there's a lot of credence to that theory. I think it's the most likely theory anyways. But I really hope that Eddie kind of bites onto too much by Gofor's point, and he makes too many enemies, he steps over too many positions, and it finally catches up to him, and he has to make like the hero play, the sacrifice play, to just get it all done. I think that would be a really good, you know, thing they could do in Gofor, but again, it do be Eddie, he do be the remnant of the Aether story, so would you really want to kill him off in like the second game?
Yeah.
I'm definitely leaning towards the idea that, like, I think Gofor's story is going to be about, like, he's made too many enemies doing this shit in Cold War, and now they're all like kind of we gotta get this guy.
Yeah.
But you make a good point where it's like, I don't know from a meta perspective how quickly they like how they feel about the characters. He is kind of like the remnant of like the most iconic and recognizable of like the Aether story characters.
Yeah, it's literally him and Sam, like they're the remnants.
Yeah, or it's like I a part of me kind of suspects that they probably want to keep those two around for a while just because of how, like, you know, kind of well-known among the community they are.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, we shall see.
Hot take, I think these two characters, I love these two characters, I do. Well, arguably for Samantha, not so much. I think she's kind of low-key. She's low-key, my goat is washed. She's low-key washed, I'm sorry to say. But Eddie is still very much cool, but I think these two kind of drag the story down sometimes. I feel like it holds back all the other characters from really showing their potential. Like, in my opinion, you tell me.
Oh, I don't know.
It's a hot take. I think, in my opinion, like, you look at Zykov, you look at Ravanov, you look at, like, those two examples, and you look at Peck. Those three examples are the biggest. Like, I think they are the most well-written characters so far in the Dark Aether stuff. I think those you put those characters in the Aether setting way back then, they are easily top 10 characters in that storyline, top 8 characters in that storyline. So I think, like, either they need to really start writing Samantha specifically way better, or they need to start, like, being more ballsy with Eddie and Sam. As, like, you know, do crazy stuff to them. Have Eddie die in Gofor, and then have Samantha, you know, do some crazy stuff moving down the line. Just something. I just want more. And I really believe this next year is going to be that more that we really want, because they have a good death cycle.
I was just going to say, like, I think a lot of the thing is going into the story, obviously the Zombies community can be an interesting fan base for sure, but I think, like, going into the story, there are a lot of people who, like, are kind of working off of their attachment to the Aether story, so they kind of pay the most attention to what Sam and Eddie do, because they're like the two, like, remnants of that story, and don't really pay as much attention to what the other characters do. I think that'll probably change, both because, you know, those characters have been around a little while longer by the time Gofor is out. They've gotten a little bit more time to kind of, like, stick in the minds of the community, and obviously Gofor is made on a budget that isn't, like, $5, like the last, like, four games have been. I mean, hopefully. So, I mean, we'll see. We'll see how people react. We'll see how the game's handled. But I'm looking forward to it.
As for the, like, the intels, that is all of, like, the super important ones that we have found so far. So, yeah, hopefully with this revelation, we will have inspired others in the community to start looking around for these. Hopefully we can find some more.
because we're going to need a whole army to look around the war zone
exactly
for weeks. Everything.
This, like, actually took us, just to find these few, it took us, what, 4 days?
And we've different, been doing like, it for a couple weeks, I think, now.
Yeah. Oh, my. It's been like, it doesn't even, the days pass, man. The last, like, I think the last time we found anything was, like, what, 2 days ago? And it was, like, we went on a 6-hour, 7-hour, I think me and Bob both went on a 6-7-hour just spree looking for this stuff, going area by area.
Yeah. Oh,
we need more people on this ASAP. Like, ASAP.
This is why we need the Intel menu back.
Especially with the amount of, like, set dressing of, like, there's been random papers around, like, there's, it is incredibly painful to go around this massive map and, like, look for these.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's an effort, and it's tedious as hell.
It's cool story stuff, but it's a little annoying to search for.
Literally scrounging for scraps of lore.
Anyways, you know, any other stuff we could talk about on this episode?
I think we hit a lot of the big ones. I don't know if you guys have anything extra to bring up.
Yeah, there's been a lot of stuff, like these intel documents, the layoffs, the leaks that have come forward. I think we've hit a lot of the stuff on the head so far. Trying to look around for any last-minute leaks we can bring up, because there's, like, as we were speaking, there's more stuff coming out.
Like, yeah, there's a ton of, like,
coming forward.
If a nuclear bomb ends up being posted where it's like, the Cold War storyline had 4 more zombies maps, and we didn't cover this.
Always Chronicles 3 was going to be real.
Yeah, it was going to be real.
Like, just looking around, like, there's a ton of concept art that's coming out for Black Ops 1, the original Modern Warfare 2. It's the stuff we have never seen. Disgruntled developers coming out that have been laid off and are just revealing all
the stuff. Yeah. Thank you, Phil Spencer, for shooting and killing 1,900 developers.
Yeah, for truly. To have like $5 more in the next quarterly report.
So true. One thing to really talk about, you know, for the MP guys that follow the channel, the whole three of you guys, there was a bunch of like, it sucks to see that it got cut, but there's like a war mode in BO4. There was a war mode in Cold War, I think, as well, that were cut, which is all like, man, big fan of war mode. You know, maybe I'm one the one guy that likes it, but big fan of that stuff. Sucks seeing it go.
Maybe it'll be back in Cold War.
I'm a massive war tourist here, because like I like the mode, but to be honest, like I forgot it was even in Modern Warfare 3. I have just not touched it at all.
Dude, it's like one map. I can't blame you, bro.
This guy probably doesn't even play Modern Warfare 3.
Oh, okay, I found the Season 2 mission stuff you were talking about. It literally says, okay, rescue Fletcher. Go to Fletcher's last known location. Investigate. Investigate the nearby distress signal. Defend. Defend the remaining survivors until the ACV is ready. Regroup. Regroup at the ACV with the remaining Terminus agents. Escort. Escort Terminus to Fletcher's last known location. Investigate. Investigate the source of the signal. Eliminate the signal. So that's like, is we are working with Terminus to some regard and maybe rescuing Fletcher. It's like, it's weird.
We will save my boy. James Tobias, we will be saving you, brother. You know, we need a Ravanov Fletcher buddy cop movie. Buddy cop map.
It's going to be the secret MWZ round base map. It's going to be that.
Yeah. This is how we get crews back. The first try at their hand at doing crews back, assuming this even happened. God, please make it in the next game. Please. This is my only wish for the Dark Human stuff. I just want crews back.
I'm still like kind of leaning towards it myself, but I mean, we'll see.
Yeah, I'm definitely opposed to crews coming back. I think like they'll try to do like I think we talked about last time. Like, I think they'll probably try to do a best of both worlds situation, like World War II. Operators can have like a canon crew of operators.
Yeah, I think they'll probably see, because COD World War II pretty much did that and worked pretty well, all things considered.
And with us coming out Forsaken, who better to be a crew than literally the four heads of Requiem?
Like, yeah, especially considering here. Like like I said, the theory last time, but it's like they set those four characters up as like being active seemingly and having like tactical shit all over them, which will be a weird character design choice if they're just like radio characters again.
Yeah. We need to make a video at some point over this because it's like, with that, well, what we just said, them being locked up at the end, them being broke out, like it's perfect setup for like the game's plot, and them being imprisoned by Eddie is like a perfect motivation to go after him. Like they're pissed at Eddie.
Yeah.
Eddie's like this antagonist in the story. It's Peck first, Peck plus the Foreheads versus Eddie versus the society, and a whole plot to, for Janus to and to save his son and whatnot. It's like the pieces of the puzzle are all there. He's got to put them together.
Yeah. I do have, actually, that reminds me, I have a theory on that topic, but that also leaves the question of, like, what happens to the strike team? But I'm thinking, like, what if we get, like, an outbreak-type mode for like, Gulf War, and in that one we're playing as, like, them working for Eddie to some degree, as, like, a sort of, like, a both-sides perspective thing. Because, like, if I recall correctly, the message at the end of Forsaken does seem to imply that he's, like, intentionally keeping them specifically contained until they're, like, needed at some future date.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting if, like, maybe in the round-based master playing as, like, the Requiem Heads and those guys, and then maybe in, like, Outbreak 3 or whatever, we're, like, completing objectives for Eddie as the strike team.
It's all fun and games, bro, until the the CIA brainwashing hits the strike team.
Oh, my God.
But any additional quad, you wanted to say something?
No, I think we've covered most of what we wanted to talk about tonight. We've already been recording for an hour and 13 minutes going on.
Okay, perfect.
I think we've talked about a lot here. Any closing statements?
Well, good talking to you guys. Good recording another episode.
That's
it. Also, for people that are watching this right now and watch episode 2 before, I have gotten better. Last time I couldn't get on the show because I was genuinely just bedridden, but I'm good now. It's been a while.
We had a bit of a time gap between recordings because YouTube did not want to cooperate with the second episode.
Yeah. So, you know, after our first podcast episode, we all collectively got sick. Bob and Quad were able to actually record the thing. I couldn't. I'm going to chalk this up to Bobby's last trick. His last, you know, his last fuck you to all of us. He just sent, like, a DNA bomb that just targeted all of us.
He sent the Manticore.
But that's difficult to see.
Whenever this goes live, we'll probably have both episodes go live at the same time, back-to-back, so a little bit of a treat to listeners out there. Two episodes for the price of one. But yeah, this is Lorecast episode 3. Sound off in the comments below, and we will see you in the next one.